From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. The seventh message in the series is entitled The Fruitfulness of Faith and focuses upon the faith of Abraham and Sarah. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Holy Foresight. The text is found in Matthew 26 and verse 64. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Ah, Lord, thou wast in thy lowest state when before thy persecutors thou wast made to stand like a criminal. Yet the eyes of thy faith could see beyond thy present humiliation into thy future glory. What words are these? Nevertheless, hereafter. I would imitate thy holy foresight, and in the midst of poverty, or sickness, or slander, I also would say, nevertheless, hereafter. Instead of weakness, thou hast all power. Instead of shame, all glory. Instead of derision, all worship. Thy cross has not dimmed the splendor of thy crown, neither has the spittle marred the beauty of thy face. Say rather, thou art the more exalted and honored because of thy sufferings. So, Lord, I also would take courage from the hereafter. I would forget the present tribulation in the future triumph. Help thou me by directing me into thy Father's love and into thine own patience, so that when I am derided for thy name, I may not be staggered, but think more and more of the hereafter, and therefore all the less of today. I shall be with thee soon, and behold thy glory. Wherefore I am not ashamed, but say in my inmost soul, nevertheless, hereafter.
There's no sickness, storm, or danger in that bright land.
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
Thank you.
Verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 11 speaks of God overcoming the seeming impossibility of Abraham and Sarah having a child because of their old age. Their carnal effort to fulfill God's promise through Hagar demonstrates the truth that the flesh always opposes God's way of doing things. As Dr. Cairns has been showing, this fleshly opposition manifests itself in man's determination to bypass the gospel and to save himself by works. Throughout the Christian's life, he will always have to battle the flesh. As the Bible makes abundantly clear, the flesh and the spirit are in constant warfare. As we'll see today, the only way to overcome the flesh is by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, here is Dr. Cairns to bring the next portion of this message called The Fruitfulness of Faith.
In all our contendings, let us be Christ-like. Hatred. And then personal animosities. I don't like your personality. You don't like mine. Well, leave it home. I don't like it too much myself. I don't like the way you go about things. I don't like what you've done. Hatred. Now, hold your beliefs. If they're biblical, don't let me or anybody else shift you from them. But if you cherish this burning hatred, if you are rejecting those whom Christ accepts, you're wrong. That's it. He can't be wrong. He can't be wrong. And that's a hindrance to the gospel. I was brought up in a small church that had great potential. We labored, we built that church by the grace of God. We prayed, we visited, we brought people in. We gave, we worked among children, young people, adults. Whatever had to be done, and we did it with a love for Christ, and for the most part, with a great unity and love for each other. But sooner or later in a small church, you're going to get one person doesn't like another person. And we saw that come into that church. A hatred. And it split the church. And it killed the church. And then there was a separation. And then we would labor again and build again. And the work would get up again. And as soon as it got up, and it came back to the same person. I think the person really couldn't like herself, and I don't know. She had many wonderful and admirable qualities. And I was delighted to think of her and her husband and her family as very good friends. But man, again it started. And then again it started. And every time God built the church up, that just cut it down. The flesh opposing the spirit. Hatred. Variance. Division. Paul says, I'm told by the house of Chloe that there's division in Corinth. You say, I am of Paul, I am of Cephas, I am of Apollos, I am of Christ. Don't you hear that, Holy One? I am of Christ. I am. I. Variance, division, emulation. I'm going to be as good as he is. I'm going to do what he does. Emulations, wrath, anger, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. These are the works of the flesh. I want to tell you, they will fight the spirit. The flesh is dead spiritually. You'll see that diabolically it's very much alive. But spiritually, as far as spiritual life and progress and blessing are concerned, the flesh is the enemy. It's like the body of Abraham, dead. It's like the womb of Sarah, dead. It's not a help
to the work of God. So the flesh stands in the way of the promise. Second thing we learn from our text, that is that the only way to overcome the flesh is by faith, and that faith specifically in Jesus Christ. Now, I've said that sanctification is a battle, right? So it is. You're going to have to fight it. I know this from experience. I remember as a young Christian, my teens, I had a sister who was and is very good to me. In fact, to her whole family. And I don't know what on earth ever got into me. I was about 17 or 18 years old. I don't know what on earth ever got into me, but I must have got out of the wrong side of the bed that morning. I don't normally do that for, usually the bed up against the wall, and there's only one side I could get out. But I got out, and something had gone wrong. I can't remember anything about the day except there was a difference of opinion between my sister and me. That's fine. That happens many a time. The sister's always right. But somehow or other, I can't remember the argument who was right or wrong, but somehow or other, I added one more sentence, and I demolished her with that sentence. And in effect, it just told her that she never had done anything or meant anything, and neither had I. It just was so wicked and wrong. It demolished her. And it demolished me. And then pride got up. And pride would say, and I can remember the feeling. It's not the only time I've had it, but I can remember the feeling. To try to start to find reasons why that statement could be justified. Why that stance could be defended. After a minute or a second or two, really, I realized, hey, there's no defense for that. Then pride again. Well, just say nothing about it. Just let it go. But no, that can't be done. The Holy Spirit convicted me, and I was broken that night in a way that I don't think I have ever been so broken in all my life. And with honesty and humility, I went to Betty and I took her hand and I said, Betty, what I said was sinful and wrong and wicked. That was not an easy thing to do. Not an easy thing to do at all. There's a battle involved in it. My pride is the greatest enemy of God's grace in my life, for pride wants to put me where Christ should be. There's a battle in it, and if you are going to live holy, you may not have to walk the same way I walked, though you may. You may have a battle in another place, but the battle is going to be won. But you will find that the battle will not be won by dependence on another aspect of the flesh. The battle will be won by faith in Christ. How can you be humble? By taking all the seminars on things that produce humility? No, sir. That'll just give you a humility that you're proud of. How can you be humble? You see Jesus Christ You get your heart and your mind filled with Jesus Christ. You let the grace of God flood your heart. Let your soul be overwhelmed with the truth that I am a vile worm of the dust, and I could have been and should have been burning in the lowest hell, but that God loved me, Christ died for me, the blood was shed for me and applied to me, and now I'm saved. And I want to tell you, as soon as that grips your heart, the dirty, rotten, stinking pride that old W.P. Nicholson called it will be driven out of you. You can't be proud of your flesh when you see Jesus Christ. The way to overcome the flesh is by faith in Christ. Didn't we read in Romans chapter 4 of Abraham and his great faith? We read there that verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Now that's not to say he didn't think about his body. Abraham did. You go back to the Old Testament and he confessed his body was dead. But what it is saying is this: by faith, Abraham, though he recognized the deadness of his body, did not esteem that body capable of overcoming his God and his promise, but rather overcame it by the promise. And he staggered not at the promise of God. He staggered not through unbelief. Abraham had a battle going on inside him. Abraham had a judgment to make about the promise of God. And when he saw the God who gave the promise, and when he saw the content of the promise, when his heart got filled with the promise of God's grace in Christ, who is the promised seed, I want to tell you, Abraham didn't stagger. Unbelief couldn't defeat him. And the flesh and the deadness of his body couldn't defeat him. He overcame the deadness of his body by faith in Jesus Christ. Now I come back to one of my favorite themes. I have mentioned this so many times that if I had any shame in me about it, I would be ashamed to say it again. But you see, I have no shame about saying it again. The life that I now live in the flesh, how do I live it? How do most Christians live the life they now live in the flesh? By counselors. That's how they live it. By little books of Christian psychology. That's how they live it. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by rote, by rule, by regulation. I was talking to a brother yesterday, the way down from Virginia Beach, the plane. We're talking about the standards and fundamentalism. Now, I believe in those standards. I don't like to see fellas with their hair down to their shoulders. I don't like to see a man trying to look like a woman, and I detest even more a woman trying to look like a man. I believe in modest dress. I believe in steering clear of booze and cinema. And a whole lot of other things as well. I believe in standards. And I don't think fundamentalism is going to be helped by dropping its standards. I have no time whatsoever for this so-called Christian liberty movement in so many reformed churches, which is a liberty to be as worldly as you can be and get away with. I have no time for it. But you'll never create holy people by saying, this is the rule, this is the regulation, and that's what you've got to live by. You'll never do that.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.